Hebrews chapter 5. Anybody ever take a look through the book of Hebrews? It's a very complex book of the Bible. Chapter 5. Please stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you will, please. We're just going to read a few verses here in Hebrews chapter 5. And of course, we have just the 14 verses, but talking about the priesthood of Christ. And I want to kind of focus in on a few things here. As he begins to kind of expound on this idea, and beginning in verse 7, if you'll just follow along, I'll read these verses for us tonight. It says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought need to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We're going to look at another characteristic of the Christian life, and it's simply the characteristic of discernment. Discernment. Do you notice what he said there in verse 14? His who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, you see, discernment is something that we need in our lives. How many times have you been presented with a quandary or with something that is a difficult circumstance and you really didn't know what to do? And you didn't really know what to choose or which way to go, right? Or who to follow. Or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? How can you get past those things? How can you make it through those circumstances? Well, you can make it through by using some discernment, okay? Discernment. We can use things that we know, that we have learned, that we should learn, that we will learn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that we can be discerning as Christians. Let me ask you something. As we go through life, naturally, does our level of discernment increase? It does. Why? Because of experience. Right? Sometimes because of education. Right? Sometimes it's a school of hard knocks that gives us our discernment, right? Sometimes it's reading a book. Sometimes it's hearing maybe a message or a sermon or reading the Bible or perhaps an experience here or an experience there or whatever. We develop discernment in our lives. What is discernment? Well, it's basically making a choice. It's making a choice. Or, if you will, knowing what choice to make. But what is it based on? Aha. That's the key. You see, discernment, remember what it says here in Hebrews chapter 5. It says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised." Why? To discern good and evil. Your senses. What are our senses? Sight. Can we learn to see good and evil? Yes, right? Okay. What about these little things here on the side of your head? Della's at the stage where she finds holes in your face fascinating. Yeah, she likes to stick things in. I'll pick her up and hold her, and she takes her head and goes like this, and her fingers, and she's like. Last night she had a piece of grass, and she was trying to stick it in my ear. I don't know why she wants to do that, but whatever. Ears. We're talking about ears. Okay. So, your ears. Here, can you hear good and evil? Yeah. All right. Taste. Right? Good. Okay. Gluten full is good. Gluten free is evil. Okay. No. All right. Fat full is good. Fat free, evil. Okay. See, we can taste good and evil, right? Okay. Touch. Right? Well, you know, we can use our senses. It says here that we're supposed to exercise them in order to discern both good and evil. So, if by some sense of the word, we can physically do these things, cannot we likewise spiritually discern? Spiritually discern. Using our spiritual senses to know the difference between good and evil. You see, our world is full of evil, darkness, wickedness. We understand that it's a battle that we is raging all around us. But can I tell you something? There are some good things out there too that can be discerned. And listen, there's even an area in discernment where good things can be bad for us. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's say playing sports. That's not necessarily bad, right? Anybody? No? But if it keeps you out of church, it probably is. You understand? Reading material and good books, et cetera, et cetera. Not necessarily bad, but if it keeps you from reading the Bible, it could be. You understand? So what does that take? Discernment. Okay, that takes discernment. And developing discernment in our lives. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. So, how do we go about exercising our senses? How do we go about getting to a place where we can grow in the area of discernment? 1 Kings and chapter 3. You know this story. Solomon has become king of Israel. And in verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 3, and verse 5, it says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, I like that, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, and that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Now listen to this. Here's how we can develop discernment in our lives. Do you notice the attitude of Solomon? A very good attitude. Okay? Very good attitude. And he's got things right in his mind. God is his God. He is the servant of God. And he is has given God the credit for these things. He says this. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? You know what we need to develop in order to be discerning in our lives as a Christian? Is an understanding heart. An understanding heart. What did Solomon want to understand? Did he want to understand how to do advanced calculus? No. Did he want to understand the eight parts of speech and how to use the English language? No. Nobody wants that. Okay. did he want to know how to get rich quick? Huh? No. What did he want to know? How to judge God's people. The people that God chose. And what did he want to judge them by? God's judgments, not his own. You see, we already talked about the word understanding. And it simply means that we come into line with how God sees things. You know what Solomon wanted? He wanted to come in line to how God sees things, so that he could discern between the good and the bad. Hey, you know what? We would all do well to call what God calls good, good. To call what God calls bad, bad. To see what God sees as wickedness, wickedness. To see what God sees as evil, evil. To see what God sees as righteous and just and holy and pure. Righteous, just, holy, and pure. Lining up with God as to how he sees things. And understanding what God understands. How do we do that? Well, we have this understanding right in front of us. You know what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What is that? Oh, I believe that's what Solomon said here. Give me an understanding heart to judge thy people. That's leading us in the way of discernment. You know, we ought to learn to be discerning people, because we can when we come into understanding as how God sees things. Remember back in Hebrews chapter 5, it was talking about Jesus, the high priest, right? Becoming our high priest. And did you notice there I think it was in verse 7 or verse 8, it talked about how Christ was trying to get clarification on sacrificing himself for our sins. Crying, right? Sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Hey, listen. We understand that Jesus is our great example. And what did he say? Father, not my will, but thine be done. You understand, go to Isaiah chapter 11, that Jesus is our example. Solomon was a good example at the beginning of his life. He saw things as God saw them. And as Jesus prayed there in the garden, at the end, he saw things as God saw them, didn't he? He came to that. He submitted to that, because that was necessary for salvation. Isaiah chapter 11, are you there? It says in verses 1 through 5, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the right and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. You know what? The Bible tells us in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Jesus increased. Isn't that amazing? You understand that we can increase in our understanding. As we come closer and closer to how God sees things, our understanding will become clearer and our discernment will grow. We'll be able to discern. Hey, listen, how many times have you said to yourself, that's not so bad? Huh? Oh, that's okay. Is it really? Is that your discernment? Is that your understanding? Or is it God's? You know, there's some things in here that God's pretty clear that are not okay. That we, or sometimes the world, says is. Yeah. Now listen, I am part of this church. You are part of this church. We are this church. Okay? You understand? Can I tell you something? This is an indictment on myself. I really believe that if Peter, James, and John, the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, John Mark, Titus, Timothy, I really believe if these guys were here today, visiting our local independent Bible-believing fundamental Baptist church, they just might scratch their heads a little bit and say, are these Christians too? Are these the same as we? Is this our kind of church? I'm just a little curious about that, aren't you? You know why? Because we've come a long way. We've come a long way. And over the years and over the centuries and over the decades, I guess I said that out of order. That's okay. No problem. Years, decades, centuries. You know what? We've kind of progressed. I gave the illustration, maybe it was in Sunday school. But the way it should be is if Christians are here and the world is here, right? We should keep that rug of distance between us, right? That's okay, right? Sure, we're separated from the world. We're keeping our distance from the world. But as the Bible says, the world waxes worse and worse. Okay? We shouldn't just be keeping a rug's distance between. In other words, we shouldn't be moving too. We should still be over here. And they should continue to get further and further and further away. I don't think that's happened. Listen, I think this is the best kind of church that I know. Because guess what? If there was a better one, and neither should you. You understand? But it's understanding. We need to come into line with understanding what God says. Solomon wanted to understand. Even Jesus prayed for understanding. And asked God to remove this cup if it be possible. But by the end of the prayer, three times, remember, he went back to pray. He submitted to the will of God. And aren't you glad? I know I am. You understand that we need to understand that will help us in our discernment. All right? What else do we need to do to learn to discern better? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, also written by Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 14. It's a very interesting statement. The wise man's eyes are in his head. Hallelujah. But the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. It's interesting. He says the eyes of the wise, or the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. When I got to think about discernment, the first element I mentioned to you that in improving our discernment is we need understanding. Do you know what we also need? We need observation. Observation. You know what? I feel like sometimes Christians have their head stuck in a hole in the ground. They don't know anything of what's going on around them. Last I checked, we're supposed to walk circumspectly. That's wise. Here, Solomon says this very interesting statement, but basically it's like, hey, wise people have spiritual discernment. They know what's going on. Their eyes are in their head. They're not dark. They haven't taken out their eyes and put them in a pocket somewhere. Yeah, no, they watch. They look. They observe. They know what's going on. You understand that as the coming of the Lord draws near, what are we told to do? Watch. Watch. We're supposed to be watching. We're supposed to be looking around. We're supposed to be aware of what's going on around us. You understand, over and over in the Bible, there are examples that God tells us we're supposed to watch. We're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to see things that are coming. We're supposed to be aware of our surroundings. We're supposed to be observant. We're supposed to look. You know what? How do you know which donut to take on Sunday morning in the donut room? You know how I know? I have exercised my power of observance. Because I look at which donut I want. All right? I don't just close my eyes and reach in the box and say, this one. Of course, for me, that would be okay. Because I like all of them. But you know, if I'm, is it okay to use the word, you understand it? Hankering. I have a hankering for a particular kind. So sometimes it's really hard for me to pass up a good apple fritter. I like apple fritters. Those are fantastic. Okay? Those are good. But you know, I've come to really like these red velvet ones that are from the lady downtown here. Those are pretty good. So I might decide one of those. Some days I want a light and fluffy glazed donut. You know, the kind of just all air and sugar and nothing else. But sometimes I just like a good hearty cake donut. Those are good too. And the blueberry ones are fantastic. Those are great. Am I making you hungry for donuts yet? Okay. Now, you understand that I should observe, right? To discern which donut I want. In our lives, should we just walk around blind, bouncing into everything that comes around? No. No, we should be watching. We should be paying attention to what's going on around us. Hey, that doesn't look quite right. Or that looks right. Or that doesn't seem to... it's being observant. God wants us to be observant. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll join you there in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. But a few more verses from the book of Proverbs about this thing of being observant. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25 says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." What does that sound like to you? Discernment. It sounds like discernment to me. And how do you do that? By looking, by observing, by being observant. Over in Proverbs, in Psalm 25, verse 15. Psalm 25, 15, the Bible says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." You understand that we should be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, are you there in Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1. Look what it says in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Wow. Did you see that? "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." That's what we need. Why? To discern. So we can discern. And what's it rested in? The hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You understand that this has to be focused, as the psalmist said, our eyes need to be on Jesus. We need to follow what God follows or leads us through. We need to be observant so that we can be discerning in our lives. Well, take your Bible to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. I hope you've had time to keep up with your Bible reading this year. And if not, there's no time like the present to start. Or continue. Or to pick it back up again. Ezekiel 22. Look at verses 25 through 31. Ezekiel 22, and beginning in verse 25. "There is a conspiracy of her prophets, in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law, and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane." Guess what? No discernment. "Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean." Hello? No discernment. "And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken." You know what that is? No discernment. No discernment. Why? Because of what they are doing. So the first element of discernment is understanding. The second is observation. And the third is action. Action. You know, discernment is basically making a decision. It's actually deciding on something. It's saying, this is what I am going to do. Now I'm doing it. It's not just standing back. It's not just waiting around. It's not just saying, oh, look, there's something I see, and it's doing that. Cool. Or, oh, I understand how that goes. But I'm never going to repeat that action in my life. What good is that? What do you need to do? What does James say? Faith without works is dead, being alone. No, that's not how it's supposed to be. These prophets had a charge from God. Turn over a few chapters. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Look at this. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. You know, God's going to cleanse them. He's going to help them come back to where they're supposed to be. Now look at chapter 44 and verse 23. Why was this necessary? Because they had turned away from what they were supposed to do, and the priests, if you will, and the people. And now God says, I'm going to bring this back to you. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to restore you, because you are my people. Look what it says in Ezekiel 44 and verse 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And the controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Huh. That's the opposite of what they were doing, right? And they're going to be restored. In Leviticus, in chapter 10, and verses 10 and 11, we see the instruction given to the Levites of what they were supposed to do, the estate that they were supposed to keep. In Leviticus 10, verses 10 and 11, it says this, and that ye may put difference between the holy and unholy, and between the unclean and the clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. That's what they were supposed to be doing. And by the time Ezekiel's prophesying, they were doing the complete opposite. And then he later prophesies that God's going to clean them up. He's going to wash them. He's going to put it back in order. He's going to get them to do these things once again that they should have been doing all along. You know, it's not just enough to understand and to observe. We've got to act upon these things. We need to use the discernment. We need to exercise it, as it said in our text tonight, that we need to exercise our senses so that we can discern between the good and the evil. All right, last stop tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Been a very patient congregation tonight. I appreciate that. I'm somewhat scattered in my thoughts, but I think they're coming together just fine. I may make a detour from here to there at points in time. It's called sleep deprivation, okay? A.K.A. Junior Camp. All right, here we are in chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what all those things are? They're commands. They're things, they're actions. They're things that we're supposed to be doing to exercise our senses in discernment. We need to exercise. Hey, if I want to grow bigger muscles, I need to do what? Exercise. I said if. Okay? if I want to lose weight, what do I need to do? Stop eating donuts, right? No. I need to exercise. All right? But bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what? We need to exercise discernment. If we're going to exercise physically, we certainly need to exercise spiritually. We need to work on our understanding. We need to work on our observation. And we need to work on our actions. Discernment. Discernment. It's a characteristic we need more developed in each of our lives.